Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you very much. Can you think of a greater need in our country and in the other countries of the world than good, honest, and committed leaders? Leaders who are more interested in the welfare of their people than of themselves. The prophet Ezekiel, about 600 years before Christ, deplored the quality of leadership in the Jewish nation. Please listen to this great prophet. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus says the Lord God unto the shepherds of Israel, who do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat, and clothe yourselves with the wool. You kill them who are fed, but you feed not the flock. You have not strengthened the disease, neither have you healed the sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. And they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became meat for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and no one did search or seek after them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd. Neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves, and fed not the flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. Ezekiel 34:1-10. It may help us in understanding and applying God's message to Ezekiel to provide a brief summary of this powerful message. We have no way of knowing who the shepherds were. They may have been some of the prophets of Ezekiel's day. There were some prophets throughout the history of the Israelite nation who were not dedicated to preaching God's word to the nation. The shepherds may have been some of the priests among the Jews. We know there were priests who violated the law of God and brought shame on His name. Ezekiel may have had military or political leaders in mind, or he may have been speaking of all these leaders, priests, prophets, kings, and others. But whoever they were forsaking their duties and taking advantage of God's people. The shepherds in Israel, whoever they were greedy and indifferent to the needs of the people. They looked after their own needs and neglected the welfare of the nation. While I am concerned, as I know you are, with corrupt leadership in the United States, in the business community, in education, and in our local communities, I am far more concerned about the lack of qualified, dedicated leadership in religion in general, and among churches of Christ in particular. Peter specifically had false prophets and unfaithful preachers in mind when he wrote his second epistle. But the truths he enunciates apply far beyond those leaders. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who secretly shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. 2 Peter 2:1-2. What motivated the false prophets of Peter's day, and many of the false prophets of our own day? Peter lists two: greed and sexual immorality. The false prophets, Peter said, through covetousness, or greed, shall with feigned or well-turned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. Those prophets were like Balaam, an ancient Gentile prophet, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. 2 Peter 2:3-15. the false prophets use their high office as a means of securing sexual partners. Peter said their eyes were full of adultery. 2 Peter 2:14. But the word translated adultery in the King James Version should be rendered adulteress. In very plain language, those false teachers always looked on women as potential sex partners. It is distressing to have to acknowledge the existence of such teachers and preachers in our day. But when you watch the so-called health and wealth preachers on television, do you not understand how money motivates their preaching? Do some of them ever preach on any other topics? They speak of how God intended for all His children to be rich and healthy. To use the words of Jim Baker before he learned better, God does not want any poor or sick kids. The main ones who profit from the prosperity gospel are the ones who preach it. Preachers like Kenneth and Gloria Copeland are wealthy and make no bones about it. They have become wealthy by bleeding their hearers. The hearers do not become wealthy, but the preachers do. Some preachers in our day have been involved in a number of sexual escapades. Henry Lyons had a mistress, or maybe several mistresses on the side. Jimmy Swaggart visited prostitutes and apparently was addicted to pornography. But some of America's most famous preachers were sexually immoral. Henry Ward Beecher had many affairs, some with the wives of some of the leaders of the church where he preached. Churches of Christ have not escaped this tragedy. I know an extremely capable young preacher with an earned doctorate who became involved with the wife of one of the deacons. The shepherds in Israel were not caring for the people who desperately needed help and comfort. They did not strengthen the people who were spiritually diseased. They did not go after those who had strayed. A good shepherd, Jesus said, will leave the 90 and the 9 safe in the fold and go after the one lost sheep. Matthew 18:12. When God's children strayed and were lost, the shepherds did not go after them. They became the prey of every false teacher and false philosophy that came along. The flock of God was scattered, but none of the shepherds searched for the lost sheep. God told the shepherds that He would hold them accountable for His sheep. I will require My flock at their hand. Will God require our young people at the hands of leaders who lie to the American people and who commit adultery? What will be the Lord's attitude toward leaders who use alcohol and other drugs? I am aware that many Americans could care less about the leader's moral behavior so long as we have a strong economy. But is the economy of a country the Lord's greatest concern for a nation? If that were the case, somehow inspired writers overlooked that fact. Is the Lord concerned about the economy of the United States and that of other countries? I think most Bible students would have to agree that the Lord does care about the economic status of every nation. But should we stress economic conditions at the expense of troubled homes, of alcohol and drug use among our children, of the sexual mores of our leaders, and of racial discrimination? The elders of the Lord's church are shepherds. Paul uses the word pastors, but the Greek word is poimenos, and would be more correctly translated shepherds. In fact, the Greek word is translated shepherd every other time it is used in the Bible. Peter used the verb form of the word when he said to the elders among the churches of Christ of his day, "Feed or shepherd the flock of God among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for sordid gain, but of a ready mind." 1 Peter 5:2. But what if elders of the Lord's church neglect their duties? Please listen to these words from Hebrews. "Obey them who have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Hebrews 13:17. All leaders, including preachers of the gospel and elders of the church, will have to give an account of their stewardship. They must not neglect or abandon their responsibilities. There is much more we can learn from this passage in Ezekiel. But for the remainder of our time, I shall concentrate on a good Old Testament king, Hezekiah. It does need to be said in the beginning of our study of Hezekiah that he was not a perfect king, not by any stretch of the imagination, but he was a good king. The great tragedy is that the Lord had to punish Hezekiah for his sin. Hezekiah died a leper. But in spite of his sin against God, he was a good king. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. 2 Chronicles 29:1. When we examine Hezekiah's immediate predecessors, his great-grandfather, Uzziah, his grandfather, Jotham, and his father, Ahaz, all kings in Israel, we have even greater appreciation for Hezekiah. The Bible says concerning Uzziah, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding of the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, he prospered. In his wars against the Philistines and against the Arabians, God enabled him and the Israelite army to be successful. 2 Chronicles 26:4-7. Uzziah apparently thought that his successes were due to his own wisdom and power. But when he became strong, his heart was lifted up to his own destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord God, and went into the temple to burn incense upon the altar of incense. When Uzziah tried to burn incense and sacrifice to God, Azariah the high priest challenged his right to do so. He told Uzziah that he was not a priest and was trespassing the law of God. Uzziah became angry because he was denied what he wanted to do. God afflicted him with leprosy. He remained a leper until his death. 2 Chronicles 26:16-21. When Uzziah died, his son Jotham reigned over the nation from Jerusalem. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah had done. Howbeit, he did not enter into the temple of the Lord, and the people did corruptly. 2 Chronicles 27:2. He built cities in the mountains of Judah, and in the forest he built castles and towers. God enabled him to fight against the Ammonites and win. Even though he did not enter the temple of the Lord, he became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord. 2 Chronicles 27:6. After Jotham died, Ahaz began his reign at the age of 20. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not do that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and made molten images for Balaam. Moreover, he burned incense in the valley of Hinnom, and burned his children in the fire, after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also and burned incense in high places, and on the hills, and under every green tree. 2 Chronicles 28:1-4. Please listen to these final comments on Ahaz. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God, and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God, and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. And he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. And in every city of Judah he made high places to burn incense to other gods, and provoked the anger of the Lord God of his fathers. 2 Chronicles 28:24-25. I hope you notice the digression of the kings of Israel, Hezekiah's immediate predecessors. Uzziah, Hezekiah's great-grandfather, was a good king, but presumed to take authority that did not belong to him. After he became strong, his heart was lifted up to his own destruction. He made an attempt to offer incense. Azariah, the high priest, rebuked him for his sin. The Lord smote him with leprosy. His son Jotham, Hezekiah's grandfather, would not enter the temple of God. His negligence caused the people of Israel to act corruptly. Ahaz, Hezekiah's father, behaved like the kings of Israel and made images to the Baals. He burned incense in the valley of Hinnom, and burned his sons in the fire. Finally, he cut the vessels of the temple in pieces, and closed the doors of the house of the Lord. With that tragic background, what kind of king would you expect Hezekiah to be? His great-grandfather was not an ideal king. His grandfather would not go to the temple of God to worship. His father burned incense to heathen gods, burned his children in the fire as sacrifices to the Baals, and closed the doors of the temple. Hezekiah illustrates a truth that all Bible students know, and that is, each person chooses how he will live. We do not have to follow the evil ways of our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and other relatives. We are free moral agents and can choose the path we will follow. Hezekiah was 25 years of age when he began to reign in Israel. He reigned 29 years, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. 2 Kings 18:3. Did you notice in my reading from 2 Chronicles 28:1 and 2 Kings 18:3 how God used David as a standard for the kings who followed him? That does not mean David was without sin, as every serious Bible student knows. But he sought the way of the Lord and lived according to the divine statute. The Bible calls him the man after God's own heart because he was humble and repented of the grievous sins he had committed both against God and against his fellow men. Some of the previous kings of Judah, like Ahaz, had built altars to heathen gods. Hezekiah had the faith and courage to remove the high places, that is, places where false gods were worshipped, broke the pagan images, cut down the groves, and broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. 2 Kings 18:4. You just imagine how unpopular Hezekiah was among the idol worshippers. After all, if there is no absolute truth, what was wrong with worshiping idols? Modern political correctness would not allow for criticizing or opposing another's religion. Who are we to judge other people's beliefs and commitments? Hezekiah did not embrace that kind of foolishness. He believed in following the divine will. Do you remember when God sent poisonous serpents among the Israelites as punishment for their rebellion? God instructed Moses to make a brazen serpent and place it on a pole where all could see it. When the Israelites looked on the serpent, they were saved from death. The Israelites had preserved the brazen serpent Moses made. They apparently believed the serpent had some kind of magical power, so they were burning incense to it as if it were a god. Hezekiah broke the serpent in pieces and destroyed it. He knew the power for healing the Israelites in their wandering in the wilderness came from God, not from a piece of brass. He was certainly one of Judah's great kings. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him there was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor were there any before him. 2 Kings 18:5. What a tremendous compliment, and that from God Almighty. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel. That means he took God at his word and followed it the best of his ability. If only the leaders in our nation and in the church had the faith and determination of Hezekiah. I have no doubt King Hezekiah was like Ezra the priest, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and commandments. Ezra 7:10. The world sorely needs men of the dedication and faith of Hezekiah. The author of 2 Kings says that Hezekiah clung to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded him. 2 Kings 18:6. Even though Hezekiah was a king and was given commandments that no longer apply to us, yet there is much we can learn from his example. Does the inspired writer expect us to believe that keeping God's commandments had any bearing on God's approval of Hezekiah? After all, the Calvinists teach that we are saved by faith alone and not by obeying God's commandments. How can religious leaders ignore the lives of great men like Abraham, Hezekiah, and Josiah? And can they miss the lesson John intended for men and women in every age? By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous or burdensome. 1 John 5, 2 and 3. And did Jesus actually mean what He told His disciples? Not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 7:21. Because of Hezekiah's faithfulness, the Lord was with him, and he prospered wherever he went. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. He smote the Philistines even unto Gaza and the borders thereof, from the tower to the fenced city. 2 Kings 18:7-8. We must remember that Israel was a theocracy. That is, God Himself ruled in the affairs of state. No nation on earth, not the United States, not modern Israel, has been given the kind of promises God made to ancient Israel. The nation was under God's special protection and enjoyed prosperity when it was obedient to the will of God. Hezekiah was a good king, but he made some grievous mistakes. In Hezekiah's 14th year as king of Israel, Sennacherib of Assyria marched against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. Hezekiah sent a message to the king of Assyria at Lachish, saying, "I have done wrong. Withdraw from me. Whatever you impose on me, that will I bear." And the king of Assyria required of King Hezekiah of Israel 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. At that time, Hezekiah cut off all the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah king of Judah had overlaid, and gave it to the king of Assyria. 2 Kings 18:13-16. Hezekiah became deathly ill, although we do not know the exact nature of his illness. God sent the prophet Isaiah to Hezekiah with this message: "Thus says the Lord God, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Then he, that is Hezekiah, turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, "I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which was right in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. 2 Kings 20:1-3. Hezekiah was certainly not the last to pray to God for a longer life. How many fathers and mothers have prayed, "Lord, let me live to see my children grow into maturity, or to see my grandchildren get married and start a family of their own"? We do not know, because we're not told, how God answers those prayers, but we know that He does all things according to His will and for our good. After Isaiah had delivered God's message to Hezekiah, the word came unto him, that is Isaiah, a second time, and instructed him, "Turn again and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord God, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up into the house of the Lord, and I will add unto your days 15 years, and I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." And Isaiah said, "Take a lump of figs." And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. 2 Kings 20:1-7. Hezekiah asked Isaiah what sign the Lord would give him that he would recover from his illness. Isaiah responded, "This shall be the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? Hezekiah answered, it is a light thing for the shadow to decline 10 degrees. No, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. 2 Kings 20:8-11. After his recovery, Hezekiah made another inexcusable blunder. He showed some of the Babylonian authorities all the precious things of the house of God, the silver, the gold, the spices, the precious ointment, all the house and his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. He held back nothing from the Babylonians. Isaiah appeared on the scene and asked Hezekiah, "What have they seen in your house?" Hezekiah told the prophet, in effect, "They have seen everything. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them." 2 Kings 20:12-15. Isaiah told Hezekiah that he had committed a grievous wrong. He predicted that the Babylonians would come against the nation of Israel and would take away all the treasures Hezekiah had shown them. 2 Kings 20:17-18. The story of Hezekiah may seem so distant in time and in geography that it has little likelihood of being true or meaningful. Did you know that archaeology has thrown considerable light on the events surrounding the life of Hezekiah? I have time to mention just one. Joseph Free wrote an excellent book with the title Archaeology and Bible History, a textbook, incidentally, that I used when I taught a course in archaeology at a college in Florida. The book was originally written in 1950 and has been of tremendous help to me in preaching and lecturing on archaeology. Dr. Howard Voss has revised and expanded Dr. Free's book. The scriptures tell us that Sennacherib, the Assyrian king, failed to capture Jerusalem. Critics have doubted the biblical account. Now please listen to Dr. Free. "However, confirmation of the fact that Sennacherib did not take Jerusalem was found in an inscription on a prism called the Taylor Cylinder, discovered at Kujinik, the site of ancient Nineveh, in 1830 by J.E. Taylor, the British Vice Consul at Basra," pages 181 and 182. Once more, the Bible has been proved right and the critics wrong. Will the critics apologize for being wrong? Do not hold your breath until they do. My friends, we thank you for listening today. May God continue to bless and keep you.